often. But that aside, I'm so glad that they were able to minister, and I love to be able to give opportunity for people to minister in the name of the Lord. We also want to thank you from our heart, Sue and I, for all of the cards and the phone calls and the prayers, and especially the food during Sue's recuperation process as she's recovering from surgery. She is doing well one day at a time. And as most of you know, Sue cannot be seated for long. So she is constantly trying to get up and move around and walk. And yesterday was the very first day she took any pain pills because she realized she had walked too much. So, but thank you. And she loves phone calls, texts, and even visits. So if you would feel inclined to do that, that would be very much, she would very much appreciate that as well. Amen. Well, listen, got your Bibles? Let me see your Bibles. Because as we've started, we're not putting the scriptures up on the screen. So we need to bring our Bibles. There's a Bible in the seat in front of you or behind you. And if you do not own a Bible, I mean you don't have a Bible at all, we want to help you. Let me know after the service and we will get you a Bible. Because we want everyone, whether it's on a paper Bible or it's on your device, we need to be in the Word together. Amen? Praise God. Well, we have been in a study in Ephesians chapter 6 in a series called Stand. And we've begun looking at the various pieces of armor that God provides, His armor, to the believer to stand securely and firmly against the onslaughts of the enemy. And today, I was telling Sigrid earlier this morning, and I was actually apologizing because, you see, our worship leaders work and pray diligently for the songs that are going to be sung on the Sunday. And what they will endeavor to do is pray into, I will provide for them the scriptures that I would be preaching on, and they do their best to put together a song, a worship package that reflects and points to the word that's going to be preached. And I had sent a message to the worship team earlier in the week. And yes, and all week, I have to be honest, I've been struggling. It's been a struggle all week, wondering, Lord, why can't I get this together? And I'll be honest, it's been a challenge this week in many ways. And yesterday, I hit a wall. If I can confess that, I hit a wall. And I just, Lord, what on earth are you doing? What am I doing? Lord, what's going on? And I just felt impressed of the Spirit to speak on something. It's part of the series. I was going to leave it to the end of the series, but I felt led of the Spirit to preach this message now, today. And I think it's very important that I preach it because today is also the final Sunday of our 21 days of prayer that I'll talk about in just a few moments. But we're going to look at standing firm in the power of prayer. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been surprised by prayer? By that I mean you prayed and prayed and prayed, and when God finally answered, it was like, really? I didn't expect that at all. Anyone ever have that happen? Well, I came across a story this week written by David Jeremiah in one of his books, and he tells the story about a mother who got a call from school saying her young daughter was ill. She hurried to pick up her child and then called the doctor, but the doctor's schedule was already overbooked that day. He could see the child the following morning and in the meantime recommended an over-the-counter medicine to ease her symptoms. So the mother tucked her little girl in bed and drove to the pharmacy, bought the medicine, and hurried back to her car, only to realize she left her keys in the ignition locked out. Well, when she called her daughter to explain why it was going to take more time to get home, the little girl told her to get a coat hanger. Mommy, I've seen it on TV. They stick a coat hanger down inside the window, hook it on the handle, and the door opens. Well, the mother went back into the store and was able to get a wire coat hanger. She made an attempt after attempt to open the car door with no luck. Finally, she lifted her racing heart to the Heavenly Father. I don't know what to do, Lord. My keys are locked in the car. My little girl is at home sick, and I'm here with this coat hanger. Lord, please send someone to help me. As she finished her prayer, a car pulled up at the curb and dropped off a passenger. The man had a rough look about him, like he hadn't shaved for days. It occurred to her he might be homeless. But he said to him, Sir, can you help me? What's the problem? He asked. I've locked my keys in the car, and I've got this coat hanger, but I don't know what to do with it. Lady, he said, let me have the coat hanger. After bending the hanger and inserting it alongside the window glass, he quickly opened the door. The mother was so overwhelmed, she threw her arms around the scruffy guy and gave him a hug. You're such a lifesaver, such a good man, she told him. Lady, he said, I'm no good man. I just got out of prison this morning. As he walked away, the mother lifted up her hands to heaven and prayed again. Thank you, Lord, you sent me a professional. Isn't it true that God oftentimes answers prayer in unexpected ways? In fact, I think he finds great delight in surprising us with his answers. That's what fathers do. They love surprising their kids. Because they love to see the reaction when the child receives what they have been waiting for. But regardless of how the answer comes, God hears our prayers and he does respond to them. And today my main point is this. Standing firm in spiritual warfare isn't a one-time moment of courage. It's not a Sunday morning experience at the altar. It's not a one-time experience at a special evangelistic meeting. No. It's a daily rhythm of prayerful dependence. Let's stand together and let's read God's word beginning Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 down to verse 20. And we'll be highlighting this morning verses 18 to 20. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Oh, sorry. Wrong verse. Verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. You know, there's nothing more comforting than to not only read the word of God vocally, but to hear the people of God reading it together. Father, thank you for your word. This is your word. And Lord, we take heed to it. Lord, just open our eyes and hearts to receive it today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Prayer. We all talk about it. We all strive to do it. But do we really understand it? Whether you are new to the faith or whether you have been a Christian for many, many, many years, prayer is a discipline, the discipline, that is probably the one we agree we should always do, but the one that we most often neglect unless we're in trouble. Then all of a sudden, we have that urge to pray. Much like the woman in the hospital who was, the doctors are trying to figure out what it was she had. And as she's listening to the doctor and waiting for his word, the pastor comes in and says, "I'm here, sister, can I have prayer with you?" And her first response is, "Oh no, is it that serious?" Prayer. Prayer is what keeps us alert, connected, and spiritually alive in the midst of the battle. If we want to endure in faith and help others do the same, we must be people who fight not just with the armor, but with unceasing prayer and relentless perseverance. We have been teaching on the armor of God. We began this series by looking at how we stand in God's strength. This is where surrender, not striving, is the starting line for spiritual stability and firmness. Then the last time I was with you, we looked at how that we are to be anchored in God's truth, that we know the truth, Jesus, that we live the truth in Him each and every day. This truth protects us at our core by helping us realize who God is and who He says we are. And then as I was praying for this message, I was preparing to pray on the next set of armor, and I felt late last night, "No, Ralph, I want you to remind my people that the armor, as essential as it is absolutely powerless unless we understand how essential this next piece in the offensive part of our armor is." You see, of all the armor, there are 5 defensive pieces and there are 2 offensive pieces. The 2 offensive pieces are the sword of the Spirit, which I can't wait to get to and I can't wait to share with you. And just to remind you, if you haven't seen our communique, on February 18th, we're going to begin a brand new Bible study series called Bible Engagement, and we will be doing a 5-week series addressing the question, why the Bible is relevant for today. And whether or not you are new to the faith or you've known the Lord a long time, I invite you to join me as we study God's Word together to discover over 5 weeks how the Word of God is relevant to each and every one of our lives. And if you would like to be part of that and you would like to receive notes, I only ask you to sign the list that's in the foyer so that we know how many booklets to make up for that. But that's just my infomercial for the morning. Prayer. What God was saying to my heart was, look, you can put on all the armor, but if we don't get this next part, and I think Paul left this till the end of his discourse because he's wanting to make the point that this is the most essential part of our armor that we need in our lives, and that is intentional, concerted prayer. God has given us everything we need for the battle. We're not defenseless in our fight against the enemy. God doesn't end this passage, though, with a weapon in hand or a triumphant charge moving forward. No, He ends it on His knees with prayer. Why? Why would Paul do this? because all the armor in the world is powerless without connection to the one who gives it strength. You see, you can be dressed for a battle and still be spiritually weak if you're not wholly dependent on God. You see, too many people look at prayer as an afterthought. It's not an afterthought. It's the believer's lifeline. The posture of victory isn't just standing against the enemy. It is kneeling in the presence in submission to God's presence and will for our lives. And so God's final word is not about fighting harder. It's about leaning deeper, not striving more, but staying connected, because the strongest warrior is the one who never stops praying. Today we conclude 21 days of prayer and fasting. Many churches across the country have been doing this to some degree. Some of it's been 21 days, others it's been a week, some just 10 days. But they've begun the year calling the church to prayer. And I believe that's a good thing. And it's a discipline that we've endeavored to establish in our church, that we begin the year in prayer. But more than a ceremony, it is a discipline. And each and every day, we need to begin in submission to God in prayer and fasting. It's not just 21 days once a year. It's not just once a week at Thursday night prayer meeting. It's not just in pre-service prayer. It's not just in our small groups, but it's an intentional discipline that we call upon God in prayer individually, and when we are called to come together as a congregation to pray with one another and for one another. Well, what difference does prayer make in the first place? Well, to begin with, prayer keeps you connected to the source. Look at verse 18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Paul, in these preceding verses, walks the reader through the full armor of God. And Paul doesn't move on to a new topic, but he moves deeper into the heart of the battle. And that heart is prayer. Because armor without power is just decoration. I love that. I wish I had thought of that. I read that in one of my books, but I had to write it down. Armor without power is just decoration. Prayer is what keeps the armor active, empowered, and effective. It's not a last resort. It's our lifeline, calling us back to the giver of life himself. Prayer isn't reserved for those crisis moments. Paul says to pray on all occasions, in the everyday, in the mundane, the joyful, the confusing, the painful. Prayer is how we stay connected to the source of all strength, wisdom, peace, and guidance. Jesus put it this way in John 15, verses 4 and 5. Remain in me as I also remain in you. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Other translations use the word abide. If we're not abiding, we're not advancing. If we're not connecting, then we're not conquering. Prayer is what keeps us aligned with God's heart and attentive to his voice. It shifts our focus from self-reliance to spirit dependence. You see, I'm afraid too many of us, myself included, when we're faced with a problem, what is our first response? We try to figure it out ourselves. We try to solve it ourselves. We read books, we talk to the experts, we listen to the podcasts, and we try to do things on ourselves. Only as the problem persists, we end up on our face, where that could have all been solved. Instead of being self-reliant, we become spirit-dependent. dependent. And that's what Paul means when he says, pray in the Spirit. Some have asked the question, does this mean praying in tongues? Well, I do believe there is definitely power in praying in spiritual language. If God has given you that gift, then yes, by all means, utilize it in your prayer time. The Bible tells us in Jude 1:20, but you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. In Romans 8:26 and 27, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. You see, the Bible says the Holy Spirit is our helper. He is our intercessor. He is our counselor. He gives us power in prayer. And as much and spiritual language can be and often is a help in prayer when we are feeling helpless. But the key that we need to remember is that when we're coming to God, we're coming and submitting our wills to him. And if we are using spiritual language as a cover-up, as an alternative to submitting our wills to God, then all we're going to be doing is wasting airspace, to be quite blunt. Praying in the Spirit is not a formula that works like a good luck charm. What Paul is emphasizing, what these verses are reminding us, is that constant Spirit-led prayer is used to build up faith and to intercede when believers do not know how to pray. The Holy Spirit knows what we need. There will be times, yes, we'll pray in the Spirit, because we've hit that wall like I did this week. And yes, I prayed in my spiritual language. And the Lord began to unlock things in my life. But there have been other times when I've just been silent in God's presence. My heart groan and spirit groaning in spiritual agony for a need that I have been praying over, and all I can do is cry in my heart to God. But the Holy Spirit understands those groans. The Holy Spirit helps me in that time of need. The Holy Spirit intercedes for me, and what I need to do is to be led by the Spirit. To pray in the Spirit is to lean into the presence of God with openness and trust, allowing the Spirit to guide our prayers. And here's something else that I am learning. Sometimes what I am praying isn't what the Holy Spirit is seeing I need to be praying. Sometimes I need to be quiet, which is why I have a journal most of the time. And in that journal, I will write, Lord, what are you saying in this situation? How ought I to be praying in this situation? What do you see? Sometimes we need to take time in prayer to be quiet in his presence and allowing the Holy Spirit to show us exactly what God sees. And this is an optional. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 calls us to pray continually, not because God needs constant reminders, but because we do. When we stop praying, we start drifting. Again, I wish I had thought of that, but it's good stuff. When we stop praying, we start drifting. If you want to know, that was a David Jeremiah. When we stop seeking, we start striving. And when we disconnect from the source, the Holy Spirit, we lose clarity, power, and peace. Prayer is what grounds your spirit in every season. It's how you fight the invisible battle with unshakable foundation. What difference does prayer make? Prayer keeps you connected to the source, and prayer keeps you spiritually awake. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying. Paul doesn't just say to pray, he says to be alert in prayer. Now it's interesting, Paul continues his military picture by using a military word, where a watchman who is standing guard is constantly awake, looking out over the through the darkness should the enemy encroach in. We need to keep our eyes open. We need to be vigilant. We don't just need to pray when things go wrong. We need to pray to see what's really happening. And when I look and see what's been happening this week on the world stage, we need to be praying in the Spirit. God, what is going on? What's going on behind the scenes? What's going on? How ought I to be praying in this situation for Canada? How should I be praying for our Prime Minister? How should we be praying in these situations? God wants us to know in the Spirit how to pray and to what to pray for. We need to be alert, because what we see isn't always what is happening in the spiritual realm. We need to be vigilant. We just don't need to pray when things go wrong. We need to pray to see what's really happening and to discern the movement of both God and the enemy in our lives. Jesus gave the same charge to the disciples in the garden. You remember on the Garden of Gethsemane, the night that he would be arrested, he came with Peter, John, and James. Thank you. Peter, John, and James. And he said, you guys stay here and pray. I'm going to go over here and pray. And as Jesus was praying, he looks up and there's his three lieutenants. At least their hands were folded. And three times Jesus woke them up. And do you remember what he said to them? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. God understands how weak you feel. Hear this. Jesus wasn't merely giving a rebuke. We read that as if Jesus was giving a rebuke of his disciples, and he was. But it's a reminder for us, a comforting reminder. Jesus knows how weak you feel. And there are days when I just don't feel the energy and the strength to pray. And it's hard. I just want to close my door, put my pillow over my head, and just go to sleep and let the world go away. How many know what I'm saying? I know I'm not alone here. And some of you are thinking, Pastor, you are the man of God. Your prayer, you should be having the whole... Listen, I'm right where you are, my friends. I've been learning the same things that you are. I'm just here to tell you, I'm another beggar seeking for bread. And together, we are going to seek God together to be alert, to be of a quick, sober mind. As Peter says, be alert and of a sober mind, for your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. We need to be reminded that we won't recognize the battle when we're spiritually drowsy. And that's why prayer is essential. It's your spiritual caffeine. I love this. It sharpens your awareness. Leonard Ravenhill, the great revivalist and reader and writer of A Latter Day, said, no man is greater than his prayer life. The pastor who is not praying is playing old man. Can we go home right now? The people who are not praying are straying. That's why prayer is not just an individual matter, but prayer is a weapon for others, not just yourself. You're not alone in the battle. You're not alone against the enemy. You're not alone trying to fight for your spiritual life and family. That's why Jesus said, I'm building my church so that together we will raise the standard. Together we will pray with one another. Together we will pray for one another. That's why we have prayer meetings on Thursday nights. That's why we call intermittent times of congregational prayer, concerted prayer. That's why we will have prayer summits in the new year. That's why we have praise and worship rallies. That's why, because we need each other. What difference does prayer make? It keeps you connected to the source. It keeps you spiritually awake. And it's a weapon for others, not just yourself. Keep on praying, Paul says, for all the Lord's people. All of them. All of them. Not just the ones you agree with. Not just the ones that think, that say well of you. But the ones who love you enough and love me enough to say, are you nuts? What are you doing that for? We pray for all the Lord's people, not just the Pentecostals, not just the Baptists. We pray for all the Lord's people. And so Paul here is intentional in closing out with this powerful reminder. Prayer is not a private discipline only for personal strength. It's a shared weapon in a collective battle. That was mine. The fight of faith is not a solo mission. It's a community effort. That's why Paul doesn't say, keep on praying for yourself. He says, keep on praying for all the Lord's people. When you pray for others, three things happen. Number one, you fight battles they may not even know they're in. Secondly, you stand in the gap when they feel too weak to pray. Thirdly, you carry one another's burdens into the presence of God. I love what James says in James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. Why? So that you may be healed. And then in Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know, it's easy to talk about people. Listen, I've been there. I get caught in that trap way more than I like to admit. And it's easy to talk about them, especially when they're struggling. But spiritual maturity calls us to talk to God on their behalf, not just for others about their problems or to others about their problems. I like what Corrie ten Boom said. We never know how God will answer our prayers, but we can expect that he will get us involved in his plan for the answer. Isn't that awesome? We never know how God will answer our prayers. Yeah, he will answer, but it often isn't the way that we think it's going to be. And it's often in a way that'll surprise us. But when he does, we can expect he will get us involved in his plan. So when you're praying for that neighbor that just gets on your nerves, you very well could be the answer to your prayers. And God is preparing you to love on that neighbor. Prayer is not a passive act. It's spiritual warfare. When you intercede for people, you're stepping into their battle with your armor on. So let me ask you a question. Who in your life needs you to fight for them in prayer right now? And for our note takers this morning, write down some names. A friend, a spouse, child, a neighbor, a pastor. Don't just think about them. Don't just feel for them. Write down their names and then stand in the gap for them. What difference does prayer make? Prayer keeps you connected to the source. Prayer keeps you spiritually awake. Prayer is a weapon for others, not just yourself. And finally, prayer fuels boldness in the mission. Paul ends this discourse with a prayer request. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Here is Paul in prison, chained to a Roman soldier, awaiting news whether or not he'll be released or sent to the executioner's block. If it was you or I, what would we be asking? God, strike down that Roman guard. Strike down Caesar. Lord, let there be a change in government. No, he doesn't pray for any of that because he doesn't have any control of those factors. But he understands the greater mission. He says, pray for me. Wow, just think on those words for a moment. This is Paul, who wrote more than half of the New Testament, who wrote our theology and what we believe as Christians. This is Paul. Paul is asking for prayer. How much more do I need prayer? Do I need to ask for prayer? My friends, don't be afraid or ashamed to ask for prayer. The idea that we can just, it's a personal thing, it's an unspoken request. Listen, that is just plain foolishness, if I can be so blunt. Don't be afraid to share a need and to ask people to join you in prayer. You see, when we pray, when we're asking for prayer, we're asking people to join us in the battle. A battle that's already been victorious. Prayer sustains courage in the face of resistance. It unlocks boldness when silence feels safer. It empowers ordinary people to speak an extraordinary message. Andrew Murray said, "The man who mobilizes the Christian church to pray will make the greatest contribution to world evangelization in history." Good preaching, excellent programs, experiential worship can fill a building. It can. But nothing will bring change and transformation to Sydney, the peninsula, and to Canada as when God's people from their hearts join arm in arm together and cry out to God in prayer. Hallelujah. James 5:16 says the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Colossians 4:2, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. You see, you're not just praying for comfort or clarity, you're praying for courage. Courage to keep proclaiming the truth in a culture that prefers lies. Look, I'm not a prophet. I don't know what's going to happen with Bill C-9 or any other idiotic bill that our MPs are going to develop. And forgive me, Lord, I shouldn't have said that. Dear Lord, thank goodness it hasn't been passed yet. But here's the point. We need to be praying for courage no matter what laws are set. The Word of God is going to continue to be preached from this pulpit without fear and with conviction. I may have to get used to wearing orange, but we will preach the word faithfully, consistently, and with clarity. Hallelujah. We need courage. So here's the question. Second question. Whose boldness are you praying for this week? Are you praying for your pastor? Are you praying for your missionaries? Or maybe a new believer that's just stepping out in faith. Like Paul, they may be one prayer away from their next breakthrough. Have you ever thought of that? When you're praying for someone, you are part of a chain of events that God orchestrates to bring freedom and deliverance to someone. So keep standing. Stand strong in the Lord's mighty power, because your strength alone isn't enough. Stand protected in the armor of God, truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, and the word of God. Stand connected through prayer, not just for yourself, but for the people around you. And stand bold in your mission, because the gospel is worth proclaiming, even when it's hard. And always remember this, the armor gets you dressed, prayer gets you engaged. Victory doesn't come by effort alone, but by dependence on the one who equips you and fights for you. You are never meant to stand alone. You are never meant to fight unarmed, and you are never meant to pray only for yourself. So take your stand, church, and don't stop standing, and don't stop praying. Hallelujah. Invite the worship team to come back, and they're going to lead us in another song of worship as we draw this service to a conclusion. And as they do, I want to give you three practical steps to put into practice this week. Just three. And each of the three steps have three steps each. Number one, set three prayer alarms. I've got a watch, and I'm just an Apple Watch, and I'm just learning how to set the alarms on it. It's not easy. But set it morning, midday, and evening. And when they go off, just pause and intentionally reconnect with God. Listen, it doesn't have to be for a half hour, an hour, whatever. But when that alarm goes off, it's just a signal to say, God, I'm just going to pause. And I'm going to pray, and I'm going to give thanks. Thank you. Number two, make a list of three people to pray for daily. Someone close to you, someone that's hurting, and someone that's leading. Thirdly, end each day with this simple prayer. God, keep me standing. Keep me alert. Keep me close. Do we have that slide, Stephen? It's the practical steps. Yep. Okay, it is there. I'll put it in the communique this week. But it is there. We're going to pray together. We're going to worship with a song, and then we're going to pray together in closing. Let's stand. Worship team, would you lead us? What I'd like us to do, Bev, if you would be so kind, just to play the music to that song. We're going to close today. Something we do from time to time, and I'd like you to turn around in groups of three or four, no more than five, but three or four at the best. If you don't know someone in your group, introduce yourself. If you don't feel comfortable sharing a need, that's okay. Just say, you know, just please pray for me. But I encourage you, you're in a place of trust. And if you would like to share your need, there are people here who love you and would love to pray with you and stand with you. So we're going to pray. We don't have to pray loud. And you don't have to pray long. Please don't pray long. It could just be simple sentence prayers. And you may just wait for the Holy Spirit to speak and say, this is how to pray. But I want you to just turn right where you are right now and just pray for one another. Bev, would you just play that song? Just play it. Yeah. Thank you. Here is our benediction for today. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, long, high, and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. God bless. There's coffee and fellowship in the foyer. If you would like to stay in